woman oftentimes like what she want to watch, and she don't want to watch what I want to watch. So it just so happens that the Wizard of Oz was on. And so here it is. We both agreed on watching the Wizard of Oz. And as we're sitting there watching the Wizard of Oz, you know, oftentimes when you're watching a movie you haven't seen in a while, see, now, y'all, the older folk know what I'm talking about, but y'all, wait a minute, just a show of hands, how many of y'all have seen not The Wiz, but The Wizard of Oz, the old school one, black and white? Okay, young people, all right, we good. Yeah, well, hold on, don't be taking my sermon.
I didn't know what kind of TV you had.
Oh, thank you, bless your heart. But as you know, oftentimes as what will happen often is that you'll watch a show and then there are things that you missed, like the first time, that you pick up on in subsequent times. And so we've given this example before, how you and maybe your wife or your husband will sit and y'all will watch a show, and then after the end of the show, you start talking about things that you saw in the show. And then you're like, no, there wasn't a purple unicorn. Yes, there was. Well, there was no purple unicorn in The Wizard of Oz. But what did catch my attention in The Wizard of Oz is that the movie began in black and white, even though it was shot in Technicolor. And those portions of Dorothy Gale, you know, Dorothy Gale is the heroine in the show, not heroine that you put in your arm, but not only was she the heroine of the show, but, you know, she was the mover of the show. The show really all centered around Dorothy Gale. And so Dorothy, and that's her name in the show, and so Dorothy Gale, after a day of school, goes through this neighbor's yard, and Toto, which is the dog. Okay, just in case some of y'all, because not everybody raised a hand. So Toto, who was the dog, went through the neighbor's yard, and the woman came out, and she was highly upset. And matter of fact, that same woman ends up being like the witch later on. You know, things that you catch that you didn't catch before you catch while you watch it the second time. And so Dorothy Gale is all upset about the woman being mad at Toto. And so she comes back, and she goes to her Auntie M. And, you know, if y'all remember, she's yelling Auntie M's name throughout the whole movie. You know, like Auntie M is going to save the day. But come to find out, Auntie M don't ever save the day. It's just Auntie M was the first face that she saw and the last face that she saw at the end of the movie. But we find that she goes to Auntie M and she starts telling Auntie M about what happened with Toto and the woman. And then, you know, of course, Uncle Henry was there too. Now, I didn't realize that he had a name until I watched it the third time. Because I'm like, well, who is this guy? You know, we don't see him but once, and that's only in the beginning of the show. And so the reason why I bring it up is that for two reasons. There's a fella at the beginning of the show that we don't see until the end of the show. And then it starts in black and white, but then the rest of the movie is in color. But you notice that at the end of the movie, everything goes back to black and white. And so I'm saying to myself, you know, while I'm watching this movie, you know, the Lord kind of talks to me while I'm watching movies sometimes. And sometimes he might talk to me from a rock. But, you know, because, look, sermons can come, as Shakespeare has said, sermons can come from a rock. So certainly a sermon can be found in a movie. And so not that my sermon is about the movie, but it just seems interesting to me that all the mundane things that occurred in Dorothy Gale's life were black and white. And that when things came to a resolve, it went back to black and white. But all the things that occurred after she was knocked, y'all realize that she was knocked unconscious when the hurricane came, the funnel, the cyclone, whatever y'all call it. Big giant storm came, and she was knocked unconscious. The window flew open and hit Dorothy, and she just fell on her bed. I don't know about you, but you know what? If I got to fall on something, let me fall on my bed. She fell on her bed, and then all of a sudden, things began to change. The wind began to whip around, and then the house was lifted up. Now, this is Dorothy Gale's story. The house was lifted up, and it was transported in that cyclone and flew down on top of some poor witch. killed her dead. And then Dorothy Gale stole her shoes. But the point is that in a lot of ways, poor Joseph, although his name is not Dorothy Gale, in a lot of ways does reflect a lot of things that kind of happened to Dorothy Gale. Joseph was going to marry this fine tenderoni called Mary. I know I kind of reached back for that one. She ain't been with no man. And you know he was thinking small town dreams. We going to get together. We going to have us a family. Everything he was thinking was in black and white. Amen. Until all of a sudden he found himself living in Oz. And what I mean by that is, first of all, his world just got turned upside down. It became topsy-turvy. Just like Dorothy Gale was in a cyclone, Joseph found himself in a cyclone. And it wasn't anything that Joseph had done in and of himself. You know, sometimes the Lord will intervene in your life and cause the things in your life to be turned upside down. And not because of anything that you did, not anything that you've done wrong, but just because he needs you in a certain place at a certain time. Imagine that the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about Joseph. Most of the that we read about Joseph, we find pretty much right here. That Joseph was espoused to marry Mary, and then all of a sudden, things began to change. First of all, a dilemma that was not of his making. Verse 18 and verse 19 tells us that Joseph was looking forward to marrying this woman named Mary. But oftentimes, life will present you with situations and dilemmas because they're simply merely opportunities for God to move. So you need to move out of the way so that the Lord might have his way. First of all, Joseph had to deal with a relationship issue. He was to marry Mary, and then according to plan, they would be together. They would have their own kids, and they would have a life together. Maybe they would be respectable community members. You know, the people would talk about Joseph like, well, he ain't the mayor, but he darn near close, you know. Or they say, Mary, you know, Mary's kids are well-behaved. And you know what? That they all seem to be well and groomed and well taken care of. We have a lot of respect for Mary. But then the situation was this, that when Mary comes to Joseph, she's found with a child. Now, if I'm Joseph, I don't know if, you know, but most men, like, if I didn't do the deed, who did? And then the question becomes, where is he so that we might have words? But wait a minute, we're going to take care of our situation with you first, but I'm going to find this other cat. But then for her to, you know, just to say, well, you know, it wasn't no guy. It was the Holy Ghost. So now Joseph is like, okay, I didn't know that she was, you know, a brick short. You know, of a full load, you know, it's like, oh, I can get it. You know, you pregnant and maybe you don't want to lay out who it was that did the dirty deed, but you ain't got to go that far. And I mean, you imagine the story that she's telling him here. You know, it's like, I'm pregnant. I got this child. And matter of fact, an angel came. I mean, imagine the story being told to you. You sitting there and you going, yeah, right. You know, an angel told you. Yeah, an angel told me that I was going to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and that I would have a child. And you sitting there going, where is the camera? You know, because this can't be real, right? This can't be right. And then all of a sudden, you can just imagine the vacant stare that he must have had while he's hearing this story. Because remember, the angel ain't talked to him yet. Right. All he know is this story that Mary is telling him. And you like, this don't happen in this world. I must be in Oz. Oh, yeah, the Holy Spirit. Okay. All right. Well, here, you stay here, and I'm going to work out what we have to do. And so I can just imagine Joseph, he's thinking in his mind, you know what? I can't marry this. She's pregnant. She don't know who the daddy is. You know, she telling a story. I might have to take her to the gate because, you know, that's where you did. You would take them to the gate, and that's where you would have them stoned.
Yes.
Now, I don't want to kill her. I just don't want to be with her. So I'm going to put her away. So that way, you know, you're going to have it, but you ain't going to have that with me. Amen. But just so happens that, you know, and while he's thinking on this, you got to figure out that it must feel like it's a dream. He's in a dilemma, not of his own creation. We know that because we reading after the fact. But while he's in, you know, it's a different thing, a different feeling when you're in the thing. You know, when you're in the thing, you know, you don't know how the end is going to work out. But that's why it's called faith. Because your faith in God is such that no matter what the dilemma is, if I put my faith in God, he'll work out all things for my good. It might not look good. It may not even look like you're looking for the trap door. You're looking for, you know, how can I fall out of this thing? And some things you got to work your way through. There's a dilemma not of his own making, but then he's got to be feeling like I'm in a dream. Verse 20 and 21 say, but while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take Mary unto your wife, for that which is conceived of her is the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But isn't that just like life when you thought you had a solution? Oh, I'm jettisoning. I'm getting out of this. I'm, you know, I'm in the plane. We flying at 50,000 feet. And I don't know if that's, you can live jettisoning out of a plane at 50,000 feet. But if you can jettison out of the plane at 50,000 feet, right? The plane is going to keep going, but it's going to keep going without me. Just when he thought he was going to hit the eject button, all of a sudden somebody say, stay in the plane. You're going to ride this puppy. And you're going to ride it to the end. All of a sudden, while he's asleep, and it's amazing to me that while he's asleep, the angel didn't come to him like he came to Mary. But he came to him in a dream. Sometimes life comes to you like in a dream. And matter of fact, just like Dorothy Gale, Joseph is in a dream. Don't you realize that most of the Wizard of Oz, Dorothy is unconscious?
Yes, yes.
And she's dreaming all these things. She's dreaming about the munchkins. She's dreaming about the wizard. She's dreaming about the witches. She's dreaming about the whole thing, the scarecrow, the lion, the tin man. When she wakes up from her dream, she's like, you was in my dream, and you was in my dream, and you was. I kind of wish she was Oprah. You can get a car, and you can get a car. She wakes up, and then all of a sudden, y'all got that one, huh? Y'all, my young people missed it. But Joseph, when he wakes up from his dream, you know, he doesn't realize that he was in the magical world of Oz. He's still in this world, and everything is still black and white. He still got to deal with that relationship issue. He still got to deal with the Jesus issue. I'm just going to say the Jesus issue, because many of us got a Jesus issue. Amen. Whether you realize it or not, your first issue that you had with him was is that you were unsaved. Well, some of you, that might still be your issue, that you're unsaved. And here you are walking through this life, and you're thinking that that's all there is to it. But the fact of the matter is that this is actually the dream, and what actually happens after you die is what really life is all about. This is the black and white. The technicolor occurs after you die and you go before him. When I say die, I mean like die in the body. When you stand before him, all of a sudden everything becomes technicolor. You realize at the time that the Wizard of Oz was made a movie, Technicolor was the thing. People were used to looking at black and white, but then all of a sudden Technicolor came and it just kind of blew everything out of the water. It was the technology of the day. It was the THX. Well, now we call it CGI, right? CGI, you know, computer generated images. You know, back in the day it was Technicolor. Now we can create images and make them almost human-like on the TV screen. And you swear up and down that it was real, when in actuality it's just Memorex. Okay, never mind. It may feel like a dream. And I'm quite sure that when Joseph is going through all this and the angel is speaking to him in his dream, he's got to be saying to himself, I'm not in Jerusalem anymore. I can't be in Jerusalem anymore. Now I'm experiencing things that are beyond my normal kin, beyond my normal experience. And how do I process these things? How do I process when somebody tells me something that is beyond my ability to change? It places me in a predicament, in a dilemma that I didn't have anything to do with, but yet God wants me to stay in it. And God wants me to stay in it, not because for my own good, but for the good of the rest of the world.
Amen. Hallelujah.
How do you fight through a thing that you don't understand? Maybe because you shouldn't fight through the thing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Sometimes God just wants you to just stay in place.
Amen.
And this is what the angel is telling Joseph.
Amen.
You need to stay in place.
Yes, sir.
Don't be afraid to take this woman, because what she is carrying is of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now notice, when God blesses, God don't always bring you some money. Amen.
Amen.
You know, some of y'all think that every time God blesses, God got to bless you with some money. Maybe God don't give you more money because you don't know what to do with the money you got.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes he got to give you some other stuff because you'll mess up the other stuff. Amen. Some of y'all don't know what to do with your money. Now, if you don't know what to do with your money, you got too much to do, have too much money, you can give it to me. I'll take it. I know what to do with your money. But God don't always bless you with money. And matter of fact, it's not appropriate that he does. Amen. Because he is the owner of a cattle on 1,000 hills. And whatever you have was his first. And guess what? When you pass on, whatever you thought you had, you ain't got. Because you done passed on. You died. I tell people all the time, burn up whatever you got. Just, you know, if you know that, why leave it? You're going to leave it anyway. And then when you do leave it, all your kids going to act like heathens and fight. They're going to fight over pianos they never played. Dinette sets that they never ate at. Fight over a car that they don't even care nothing about, but they're going to fight over it. I tell the people all the time, if you want to take a trip, take a trip. If you want to go someplace, you want to go to Israel, go to Israel. Just take your pastor with you. You know, I ain't ashamed. I ride on anybody's dime. You're placed in a dilemma, not of your own creation. It appears oftentimes that it's a dream. But then the dilemma was deliberate. The house landed. I really do, after looking at the movie, The Wizard of Oz, several times, I've come to the conclusion that Glinda the Good Witch did that on purpose. She made sure that Dorothy's house landed on the Wicked Witch of the East. Because she could have, look, once she gave her the slippers, Dorothy's whole thing throughout the whole movie was what? I want to go home. I want to go home. She was going, and who planted the idea? I'm just telling you, I'm just working this as a detective, right? Who planted the idea in her head that she should go to the wizard and ask him to send her home? The witch. Who was it that sent her on the yellow brick road. The witch. Before she got on the yellow brick road, who showed up? The wicked witch of the West. Another witch. When she's making her way on the yellow brick road, she runs into three characters. They are, and she sells them on the story that, well, you need some brains and you need a heart and you need some courage. So let's all go to the wizard. Blame it on the witch. When they get to the wizard, wizard say, I'll give you whatever you want, but you got to kill the wicked witch of the West. How come they didn't go kill Glinda? Because she's a witch. They go do that. They kill the wicked witch. They throw some water on her. She melts. They come back with the broomstick. Then they find out that the wizard wasn't all that they thought the wizard was. They find out that it was all smoke and mirrors. They find out that they had put their trust in someone that couldn't help them. Joseph, on the other hand, is different. He is sent on a road that he didn't build. He's told to sit in place. He's not told to go anywhere. He's not told to do anything but go ahead and marry the woman that you was going to marry. The angel tells him, God will do the rest. And isn't that true in life? Most of the time, God just tells you to have a seat. If you would just simply rest in him, he'll do the rest. You ain't got to go down the yellow brick road. Just sit and rest. Most of the time, we running around. We getting all in the way. God can't work. And sometimes he'll just let you run till you get tired, until you ain't got no choice but to rest, so then he can do the work. God don't need your help because he's God. He tells Joseph, do what you was going to do and let me do what I'm going to do. And when I'm done doing what I'm going to do, you're going to be all right. And he does exactly that. Joseph does what he does so that what? And we see this all the time, not all the time, but we see this mostly throughout the book of Matthew, where we see this phrase. Now, this was all done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Throughout the book of Matthew, we see this continuous refrain, especially when it comes to Jesus, that these things were done so that the prophet's words might be fulfilled. Jesus' coming was already foretold. And so what Matthew does throughout his 26 chapters tells us about all the things that it was that Jesus did so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Joseph is just simply a place marker. He's just to simply do and keep that place until the Messiah arrives. Your only job, can you imagine? I mean, at the time, it was probably causing his stomach to roll. He probably had some tempestuous nights. I paid good money for that word. He had some nights where he couldn't sleep, probably some days where he couldn't eat, thinking about what people would say about this woman who he ain't touched, but yet she pregnant. She pregnant, and wait a minute. Now, you know how people do, right? They hear your story, and then all of a sudden, they'll just put it in all kinds of terms, right? You know, you went from virtuous to, you know, well, she kind of skank. Well, how is it that she pregnant, and she says she don't know no man? How is it that she got the Holy Ghost? Something wrong with Mary. And something wrong with you too, because you hooked up with her. Joseph needed to be in place so he could offer protection for her. Amen. That he didn't abandon her was important to the Lord. And the same is true for us. Sometimes we hear some crazy things. And especially from our kids. If you got more than one kid, then you know. They'll say some crazy stuff. Amen. But guess what? Sometimes it's actually true. And if you done raised that kid the right way, if you done led them and guide them into ways of righteousness, you know what? That'll produce fruit. And so when they do tell you the story that don't quite make sense, stand fast until you know the truth. But stand fast until you know the truth. And Joseph is just merely being told by the angel to stand fast because God's word is true. Amen. How do we know it's true? Well, we know that it's true because she gave birth. And she gave birth to him who was called Emmanuel. We know that this is true because he made a decision. Verse 24, verse 25, it says, Joseph being raised from sleep, he did as the angel had told him and took her unto his wife. Didn't know her. In other words, they didn't do the things that adults do until after she gave birth. And they were obedient to what it was that he had dreamed and to what the vision that she saw with the angel. They named him Jesus. And as Joseph continued his in this situation, we find that he only had really but one choice. Well, actually two choices. He could be obedient or he can be disobedient. He could leave her, put her away, or he could stay and marry her. The Bible doesn't say a lot about Joseph. But what the Bible does say about Joseph is that he was a just man. That word just doesn't mean that he was just necessarily fair, but he believed in the Lord. He believed in the word and the will and the way of the Lord. And because he believed in the word and the will and the way of the Lord, he was called a just man. He wasn't just because he didn't put Mary away. He was just because he listened to the word of the Lord. In spite of what the world may have thought about him, in spite of what the situation looked like, in spite of what people knew or didn't know, in spite of what people may have called him, his wife, and his family, he stood there with that family, not based on what he knew about them, but what he was told by God. And that's all I've come by to let you know this morning. Really, you only have but two decisions. You'll either be obedient or you'll be disobedient. You'll either obey the word of God or you'll disobey the word of God. Now, I can let you know that both decisions come with consequences and repercussions. This morning, maybe there might be someone here who does not know Jesus in the pardon of their sins. And we cannot assume that simply because you showed up in church today that you know Jesus. I can't make that assumption. I must assume that none of you know. So that way, when I give you the opportunity to make a decision to be obedient or disobedient, you'll know the consequences. Obedience to the word of God is that you will believe in your heart. And that you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe that he died and he rose again, if you believe that he was born of a virgin, that he lived 33 years, that he had 12 disciples, that he died, oh, didn't he die? On the cross. Buried in a borrowed tomb. And then the most important thing, that he got up in 3 days' time out of a grave. If you believe those things, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth, you've already believed in your heart. The Bible says you shall be saved. Jesus had come for this very reason. He comes on a, I won't go that route. He comes through the lineage of Joseph and Mary. into the city of David through 42 generations from David to Joseph, so that men might be saved. And what are we saved from? We're saved from our sins. There comes a point where you must make a decision. There might be a dilemma not of your making. You're a sinner simply because you were born. Amen. It may seem like a dream. Well, I don't really understand what my purpose is. But the dilemma is deliberate. God has put you in this situation so that you might make a decision. There's a songwriter, and the songwriter says this: I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. And then he says, no turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, though none believe my story, I still will follow. There's no turning back. No turning back. The word of God has gone forward.